Morning.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's a great joy again to be with you in the house of the Lord. And I hope you are excited to be in the house of God. This morning, I decided to take a break for this week from the gospel according to Matthew. And I believe the Lord has laid in my heart that I may speak the message that I want to address to you this morning, because I believe it is very relevant to us as a church, especially Sovereign Grace Bible Church. So please turn then in your Bibles to Psalm 133, and the title of the message this morning, The Blessedness of Christian Unity. The Blessedness of Christian Unity. We will read together Psalm 133, and it reads as following: A song of ascents of David. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Have you ever wondered, friends, what is God's desire for his people when they gather together? Something that will make their worship God-centered. Something that will make their prayers heavenly-minded. Something actually that Jesus Christ himself prayed for in John chapter 17, verse 11. There Jesus prayed and said, And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. Speaking of the disciples, speaking of us as well. I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Here we see that something that I'm talking about this morning. Jesus prayed for our unity. Jesus prayed for a heavenly miracle which eradicates division. So it is our duty, it is our responsibility as a church to contribute to this Christian unity, making sure that our gathering together does not become a routine. Making sure that our gathering together is a continuous connection between our worship of God and our fellowship as the children of God. David is aware, friends, that there are many things that are able to unite people. But unless we are united in spirit, unless we are united in mind, unless we are united in faith, that unity is in vain. That is what we're going to see here this morning. So he writes this psalm as a true reflection of the blessedness of Christian unity. Verse number 1 tells us that it is a psalm of ascents. What does that mean? It means that it was a song that the people of God would sing as they were going to a place on high. As they were going to a place of worship. They would gather together from different tribes singing this psalm or one of these psalms. Singing it together, showing the unity that they have in God. A song which they sang when they were going for a holy festival. A song that they sang as they were coming together to gather, as we are gathering also this morning. A psalm that I believe it must have prepared their hearts so that they may come with one attitude and one mind to the worship of God. If there will be people who will be dwelling together. If there will be people who will worship God together. They sang this psalm, expressing their joy, they're expressing the joy that they have in the unity they have in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the context of this, let me say the unity they have in God Himself, the God who is in heaven. They were united in mind and they were united in faith. So it is also my wish this morning then that I may bring this to us, that I may show you the blessedness of Christian unity, that I may show you the reason why Jesus Christ has brought us together here. A people from Malawi, people from Zambia, a people from Zimbabwe, people from any kind of place, Lesotho, Botswana, we are here in this place called Sovereign Grace Bible Church, even people from South Africa. What is the reason? What is it that we benefit in the fact that Jesus Christ has brought us together? The reason that we must remain united as the people of God. And I want us to see that under three thoughts this morning from this psalm. Firstly, I want you to notice that we are united for communal joy. In other words, we are united for a collective joy. Our gathering is not centered around an individual. We are not gathered here to please a person. We are gathered here as a community of believers. Our gathering is not centered around a personal or individual preference. I think this is very helpful, friends. It is helpful for us because we come together to see what is in the Word of God for us. Not what we want church to be, but how God wants us to be as His people. Something from the Word of God as a biblical instruction for us. Look at verse number 1. Verse 1 says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers and sisters dwell in unity." And friends, we all know that not everything that is pleasing on our side is good. There are many things that are pleasing on our side that they are not good. But the Christian unity is something that is both pleasing and good. It is something that pleases us and also it is good for us. It brings spiritual joy. It also brings emotional excitement to the soul, because something glorious is happening when the children of God are gathered together. The people are gathered together for God. We gather together for God, to worship Him, to serve Him, and to glorify His holy name. So here, the psalmist, the first thing he says, "Behold." Pay careful attention to this. Behold. It looks like David had a great feeling of joy upon his own heart as he saw the people of God coming together. He had a great feeling of joy as he saw the people of God coming together as a community of believers. Perhaps he saw an expression upon the people's faces as well, an expression of joy and love. The people, remember these people, the people of Israel, the people who remained in division for a long time of their lives. A people who were divided in the time of King Saul. Under the reign of King Saul, these people were divided. These people were also divided under the reign of David himself. Because these people were also divided when David was running away from his own son, Absalom. These people perhaps now, they are united now. Absalom is no longer there. Saul is no longer there. David is on the throne. And David sees a good thing. A good thing is the gathering of the people of God. Perhaps these people are now free to come and worship God together in Jerusalem. Free to sacrifice to God. Whereby they come to lift each other's spirit up. So that they may share their personal issues, their personal concerns. That they may share to one another prayer requests. That they may serve one another as well as they come together. There we see the joy that when the people of God are gathering together, the people of God separate themselves from personal preferences. There were 12 tribes, if you remember very well, with different ways of living, different ways
of thinking. But here David says, it was good to see those people coming together in one mind and in one heart to worship the God of heaven. Coming together and united regardless of their personal division, regardless of their personal or ethnic differences. And I say, church, in the same way, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ must be united regardless of ethnic differences. Regardless of the fact that we all have personal preferences, but we must not come with our differences. We must leave our differences outside and come to worship God in spirit and truth as a united people of God, demonstrating publicly our unity of faith. The world must look at us and see us united. Thereby they will see the reason why they also need the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus alone can unite a people of diverse cultures and nations. According to this psalm then, we don't live in isolation. According to this psalm, it is not every man for himself. We are united. According to this psalm, we don't gather for a different agenda, but under one agenda, the word of God, the worship of God, and serving one another. According to this psalm, then, there is no room for individualism, whereby you think of you, yourself only. There is no room for individualism, where people think that it doesn't matter whether they come to the worship of God or not. Where people think it doesn't matter whether they come to church or not. This is not about individualism. The gathering of Christians is about unity. We are united in Christ, regardless of where we come from. We are united to come and hear together the preaching of the word of God, that we may grow spiritually, that we may grow as the people of God, that we may know God more. That is what is important, for us to know God more. Of course, that we may know one another. But it's very important that we know God. And that can only be possible when we gather together. Because when we gather together, we realize that each and every person is different. Then we are able to accommodate one another. So friends, we are a people who understand that we are not saved to stay away from the gathering together of believers. Because such an attitude is not good for the soul. Such an attitude is not good for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our joyful union is demonstrated when we as the children of God are pulling together to the same direction. And we find that in this psalm, that there has to be a living connection between the Christians. Christians must have one mind and one heart. That is why he says, oh, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell in unity. They are connected. They are one in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must be connected to one another more than we are connected to our friends and families. Because we are the ones who are called to love one another. The Christians are called to love one another. And that is impossible when we live far from one another. We are the ones who are called to save one another. We are called to admonish one another, to correct one another, to care for one another. And I can tell you, friends, the reason why many professing Christians live like demons is because they live far from the community of believers. They are isolated from the fountain of life, the word of God. And consequently, they find their advices from the world. Then they begin to live like the world. There is something that is always identifying them with the world. There is a sort of a string or a trend that is keeping them together with the world. You cannot separate them with the world because they are far from the fountain of life. They continue to defend the world. They defend worldly living. They defend worldly music. They defend also church growth strategies. It is not something wrong for them to mix or mingle with the world. Although the Bible says light and darkness cannot come together. This is what you see. Compromising the true standard of living. Because deep within their hearts, there is a little love for the world. In other words, they have one foot in the church and another foot in the world. That is not good and pleasing. So the gathering that we need to experience is the gathering that is made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ. The gathering that springs forth from the inside. Unity that is motivated from the inside. So we, church, as Sovereign Grace Bible Church, we must hold on to what we have. We must hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. We must never prioritize our personal preferences at the expense of Christian unity. Because it is God's will for us to be united in mind and in heart. It is God's will for us to be united in doctrine and practice. It is His will that the dividing line of tribalism and racism may be broken also in our own hearts and minds. That is only possible when people are united in Christ. So this psalm, friends, is a psalm that will fill our hearts, because our uniting focus is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our one solid foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or else, friends, if we are united by anything else, we will not be different from the world out there. We must be united in Christ and by Christ. And I'm going to show you on my second point that indeed we are united by Christ. Not because we agree on something of this world, but our unity is motivated by the Spirit of God. So the gathering together of true believers, friends, is good and pleasant because there we experience the power of the gospel. Do you experience the power of the gospel when you gather together with believers? Do you pay perfect and careful attention to the preaching of the word of God? Because that is your gain when we gather together as the people of God. Thereby, the word of God brings together men, women, and children to experience the love of God for them. People from every tongue, every nation, they come together for the sole purpose of worshiping God and caring for one another. Two things I've mentioned. We worship God together and we care for one another. We serve one another. That is our communal joy, our collective joy. We find it when we worship God and also as we care for one another. In that way, we will protect our fellowship. In that way, we will love to come to the house of God. How do we protect our fellowship? That we are always united and never scattered. We must, friends or church, we must not only be united here. It is good to be united here. But are we connected also when we are not here in this place? During the whole week, are we a connected people? Do we pray for one another? Do we protect our gathering or our fellowship by motivating one another through the week? That is what brings joy to the people of God. Because we have one Lord, we have one Spirit, we have one hope, we have one love, one Father, the very same Father who has given us His Spirit as His people to practice mutual concern. Things that concerns us together as the church of the living God. We are able to pray for one another. We are able to love one another. We are able to come to God to bring sacrifices that pleases God. Remember, when the children of Israel came together in this gathering, they brought sacrifices together before God. And God was pleased in their gathering. Is God pleased with our own gathering? Are we united here to pray for one another? Are we united here to share our personal things that we are blessed with by God? Things that you are not blessed with, but the other brother is blessed with? Are we able to share those things together? Because that is what will bring communal joy or collective joy. So what God desires from us, friends, is the joy of the believers. The joy of the Christians. We can see that in Acts chapter number 2, verse 42. Let's read the Acts 2, verse 42. The Bible says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Verse 44. And all who believed were together and had one thing in common. 46 to 47. And day by day attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord, this is very important, because of their gathering together, because of their unity, because of how they live among the nations, the Bible says the Lord added in their number day by day those who have been saved. So if our Christian unity, friend, is not identified with the worship of God and saving one another or the fellowship of the saints, then we have no unity at all. It doesn't matter then what unites us, unless we are united by the worship of God and the fellowship. We can dance around together, we can raise our hands together and sing hallelujah together. But unless we are united by these things, the worship of God and the fellowship of brothers and sisters, if we are not united by that, whatever glory we bring or we say, it is not the glory of God. And it is not Christian unity. And I can tell you, friends, I am happy. That's why I'm speaking to you now, today. I am happy that we are a united church. So I'm not preaching this because we are not united, but I'm preaching this so that we continue to be a united people of God. So church, for our unity to be pleasing and pleasant before God, it must produce true worship and it must produce true servanthood. We must serve without grumbling. We must serve without complaining, without murmuring. We must serve with the purpose of communal joy, with the purpose of bringing collective joy. Then it will be good and pleasing for us to come together. Secondly, we are united by a common blessing. This is very important. We are united by one common blessing. Because, friends, it is easy for people to agree on social matters, then make a church on that common ground. But our common ground is unique. It is a blessed common ground. We read from verse 2 and 3. It says, the fellowship of believers is like the precious oil on the head running down the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. I want to show to you, friends, that we are united by a common blessing and that no one among us is better than the other before God. We are all the same. We share one common blessing. What is that blessing? David here gives us two pictures. If you look at your Bible, you will see that. He gives us two pictures in order to help us to see the blessing that unites us. Firstly, we see the picture of the precious oil. He speaks of a precious oil in verse number 2. And secondly, we see a picture of dew. That is water. Dew that is flowing from the mountains of Zion. And I want you to notice that these two things shed one common ground as well. The precious oil and the dew, they are flowing from on high. The precious oil is flowing from Aaron's head down his beard and his garment. And the dew is flowing from the mountain. What does that tell us? Our blessedness, friends, our blessedness in God comes from on high. It is not something that is made possible by man. It is a blessing that we have from God as a united people of God. This precious oil, friends, symbolizes the Holy Spirit. It is the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon each and every Christian, uniting us to Christ and uniting us together. A picture of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew chapter 25, we will get there one day, we have a parable of 10 virgins. And 5 of them are carrying oil, enough oil, symbolizing the saving work of the Holy Spirit within us, symbolizing something which without, no one will enter into that banquet, no one will enter into that wedding feast of the Lamb when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. We must have the Holy Spirit uniting us. We must have the Holy Spirit binding us together to think like to think together the same thing as the 10 virgins also, at least the 5. So this is the picture of the Holy Spirit. We need this oil, friends. We need the Holy Spirit, the oil upon us. We need this oil, friends, because this oil makes sure that we are not a lost people. This is the oil that we must possess so that the world may see our unity in Christ, so that the world might see also the reason why they must become the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need this oil, to possess this oil, so that we also may have the light that shines throughout, not just for the world. We must have the light that shines for each and every one of us. We must become each and every one's example. We must become each and every one's guide. We must be united. And we are united by the Spirit. But then he continues. He uses the picture of dew. He speaks of the dew of Hermon. The dew of Hermon, he says, it covered the mountains of Zion. The mountains of Zion were the mountains of Jerusalem. This dew covered this mountain, and it was flowing early in the morning. As the sun rises, the sun will melt the ice that is on the mountains, and that ice will start then to flow down together in unity. They were flowing down the mountains to fill the river Jordan. That is the unity that he says. But they were this dew was filling the river Jordan for the people of Israel to benefit from. They will bring calves, they will bring their lambs, they will bring every livestock they had to drink from that river. They also benefited for that river for their own sustenance as well. So now he's giving us a picture then, again, of the Holy Spirit. The water is a picture of the Holy Spirit. So he's re-emphasizing the point that is already made. That's how important this is. That's how important for us to know that we are made one. We have one common blessing. We are united by the Holy Spirit. It is not our own doing. But I think there is something also that he brings out here that is very important, something significant for our common blessing. The psalmist deliberately used the name of Aaron in verse number 2. He says, this oil is flowing from the head down the beard of Aaron. Friends, Aaron is a very important figure, because Aaron is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aaron was set apart for the children of God to serve them as the high priest before God, to serve them as their mediator, a mediator between Israel and God. This is the man who used to connect the Israelites and God on a daily basis. This is the man that used to stand on behalf of the people before the living God, because the people were so sinful that they could not pray for themselves, they could not bring their own sins, but they needed a man that was set apart by God, and Aaron was that man. He led them on daily basis to the throne of grace above, so that they also may enjoy the refreshing blessing of God. And the psalmist is using that name of Aaron, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. We were reading the book of Hebrews a few weeks ago. We know that Aaron pictures the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just read Hebrews 9, verse 11 to 12. Listen to what the word of God says there. Hebrews 9, verse 11 to 12. It says, but when Christ appeared as the high priest of the good things that have become, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made by human hands, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy place, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption for us. Jesus is our high priest. So the psalmist is pointing to Aaron, whereby we must read our blessedness in the Lord Jesus Christ. So not only, friends, then we are united by the Spirit of God, but also we are united by Jesus Christ. And to say we are united by Jesus Christ, it's our common blessing, because Jesus alone can give or has given us salvation. So we are united as a saved people of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, it reads as following. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says here. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again." Who? The Lord Jesus Christ has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power have been guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the end times. Peter is saying we are brought together by the blood of Jesus Christ. Another thing we need to notice about Aaron is that Aaron had an exclusive garment. If you have been reading your Bible, even if you have not read your Bible, I'm going to explain to you how Aaron looked like so that you can picture that in the Lord Jesus Christ and how it blesses us today. So we see when we read the book of Exodus that Aaron had an exclusive garment that he wore. That garment symbolized the power and authority. It was only him who wore that garment. And friends, I think we can have a cross reference there to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the woman who was bleeding for 12 years? She wanted to touch the garment of Jesus. And Jesus said, when the woman touched him, power moved from Christ to the woman. So Aaron also wore a garment symbolizing the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The very same power then and authority that has brought us together. Aaron also had a coat made of fine linen, which spoke of purity and holiness. The very same blessing that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that brings us together. Holiness and purity. We are not united here as a political party. We are not united here for any other purpose and reason, but because of purity and holiness. What do I mean by that? I mean we are united that we will strive together to be in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. To be pure and holy before God. That is the blessing that also binds us together. But then also Aaron had a robe which he wore also over his clothing, pointing to the love and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that we cherish today as believers. The love and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that keeps us together. The love and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are also told in the book of Exodus that Aaron had an apron, which was called an ephod. That apron he wore over his robe when speaking to God. Only when speaking to God, he wore that apron. That apron spoke of perfection. That apron pictured the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we strive to, that we may also be perfect before him. Because that perfection is what will also bring us together. That is our common blessing. It speaks of our sanctification in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is sanctification? That day by day process of being made holy. We are made holy day by day by the word of God. But one last thing I also need to bring about Aaron. He tells us that he had a breastplate fastened around him with 12 stones. These 12 stones, in these 12 stones was written the names of the tribes of Israel. What does that tell you? It speaks of unity again. And friends, when our Lord Jesus Christ come, we shall see that unity which we are united for even today. Every nation, every tribe, every true son of the true Israel of God will be united when Jesus Christ come. Maybe let me give you this last one as well, although I wanted to stop there, but let me tell you this one. We are also told that the ministry of Aaron was accomplished by golden bells that were rang, and the people heard these bells as Aaron would go into the temple. And friends, let me tell you, also the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ will also be accomplished by a bell. The Bible tells us that a trumpet will sound, and he will descend from heaven, and the dead will rise from the dead. Those who died doing good will also be raised to life. Those who died united by the Spirit and the Son of God will be raised to everlasting joy. But those who died united by false religion and worldliness, they'll be raised from the dead to everlasting destruction. The question is, where will you be? Where will you be? Will you be united with him, or you'll be united with those to destruction? Today, friends, we go around, we have parties, we enjoy friendship, we clap hands together, we are happy. The question is, when Jesus Christ comes, when he returns, will you be happy? Will you be joyful, or you'll be trembling? Will you have a party as well when he returns? Or you'll be running to the rocks, praying that the rocks will hide you. But the Bible says the rocks will not hide you, because no one can run from the wrath of God. Where will you be? So, are we united by a common blessing? Do you have that common blessing in you? Do you have the Spirit of God that unites the Christian and then unites them together and uniting them with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have Christ in you? Can you say, I am born of God? When he returns, I will see him. Because only then that will be good and pleasant for you. Thirdly, we are united for a common future. We are united for a common future. We see in the last part of verse number 3 that unity is also good and pleasant to God, not only to us, but to God. It reads as following: for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. We have a common future, friends, not individual futures. The people of God have one common future, and that unites us: life forevermore. Because, church, a future that depends on us will always fail. A future that depends on us will cause pride and division. But our future depends on the faithfulness of God. Our future depends on him who has called us to his marvelous home, to his marvelous light. We have an everlasting blessing according to this verse. Our unity will also be recognized beyond the grave. We will be united even after death. That should be an encouragement for you. Even after death, we will be united. Today we cry when one of our loved ones leave us. But one day, if we all die in the Lord, we'll pass on through death to eternal life. We'll be united after the grave. So not only do we find joy in our unity in this lifetime, not only are we distinct from everyone else because our blessing comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, we are bound together by the Spirit and him, but we also have a common future. Our Christian unity is eternal. God commands our destiny. In other words, friends, we live to the reality that there is a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we see it afar, where we shall, as the people of God, we shall meet together and sing melodies, songs to the Blessed One, where our spirit will sorrow no more, and there we shall offer tributes of praise. Are you going to be one of them? Offering tributes of praise, singing melodies to the Son of God. Friends in Christ, we are united and we are given a life forevermore. And let me mention, this life forevermore is not a life forevermore that begins after the grave. This life forevermore begins today, because Jesus Christ came into this life. He condescended from heaven that he may bless us with a new life, that we may be united to God. He made our spirit alive to God. He came into this life and entered our own beings so that we may be made one with him. He united us that we may follow him. I almost said, until death do us apart. No. That is in marriage. But in Christ, in this blessed marriage, no death do us apart. He has made us alive to know God. He has made us alive to hearing God's direction, that we may choose to follow Him. He has made sure that we are able to choose to follow Him. Who do you choose to follow? A life forevermore. Are you following the road or the path to ruins? Where will you be? Do you have this life forevermore? Friends, it says God commands the blessing, life forevermore. In other words, in our gathering, He opened our eyes to see His head. On His head there is a crown. On His head now there is a crown of victory. But that day on His head there was a crown of thorns. On His hands there were nails of steel. On His face there was sorrow and pain, but also love. Do you see that kind of a love in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to cherish that? A blessing unchangeable, pointing us to our common future with God. So church, Christian unity should be very important to us. We cannot seek to enter the kingdom of God outside Christian unity. We cannot expect to be in His kingdom if we are not obligated to love and serve one another. Are you willing to love and serve others? Or is all about you and not no one else but you? Is our life as a congregation a proof that we have a life forevermore? Our unity is heavenly driven, my friends. We are united for heaven. Whatever happens in this world might keep us together for now, but something more precious keeps us together: our Heavenly Father. So our unity is heavenly driven. That is why then our unity cannot be fostered apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. We are united as a people of God. We are joined together to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember now, in verse number 1, I said the oil is running down from the head. This precious anointing is from the head. And the head of the church is the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. Just to show to you that happiness and peace cannot coexist where there's quarrels and war, but only where the Spirit of God moves. He says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, that completes my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each one of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Church, heaven awaits us. Heaven awaits us. So there is a reason here for us to be careful not to be motivated by division. That whatever we do, we may be careful that it doesn't cause division, but it causes unity. We need to hold to what we have, holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ, holding on to our doctrine and practice, but also not forgetting that unless we are united in mind, in heart, in soul, and in spirit, then our unity is in vain. We must be a transformed people. People whose hearts are transformed. Only a transformed people can see the significance of a common future. People, friends, who are outside the church, or people who are unbelievers, even though they are in the church maybe, they don't see the blessedness of this common future that we have. Heaven does not matter to them. But we must make sure that we show that heaven matters to us. Because together we shall enter His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. Thereby we shall bring to God pleasure and delight. In verse 3 it says, it pleased God to see the Israelites dwelling together. And then he commanded a blessing upon them. And I say, friends, in the same way, he will command a blessing upon us even this morning. It pleased God to see the early church united in doctrine and in faith. Then the Bible says he added in their numbers those who believe. As we come together and are united in God, God will be pleased to give us the power of the Holy Spirit that we will need in our daily lives for strength and to carry on. But also, he will add unto us those who are saved. Unity grows a church. So, in our diversity, in our differences, different history, different cultures, one thing brings us together: the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to close this way, my friends. Christian unity is something that is important to God. Let it be important to us as well. It is serious to him. Let it be serious to us. So we must not forsake the coming together of believers. We must not forsake loving one another. We must not forsake praying for one another. Let us not forsake serving and caring for one another, because it is good for us and it is pleasing to God. And friends, we all know that there are united people out there. People united outside the Lord Jesus Christ. Other people are united by religion, and there are religious sects that are united. There are cults that are united. But the question is, my friends, is it good and pleasing before God? Does it bring a blessed communal joy? Is it motivated by a common blessing? Is it everlasting? Is that unity everlasting? Or, if you remember, in the book of Genesis chapter number 11, the people were united there as well. Is our unity the same? The people there, they were united against God, not for God. Is our unity the same? Are we united for God? Are we united against God? The only way to be united against God is to be united outside the word of God. To be united by anything else. To be church that is united by singing nice. To be united by good music or good dancing. Whatever that unites people. Are we united for God? Does the word of God unite us? Do we find communal joy in our unity? Are we blessed by a common blessing? The Spirit and the Son. Are we also united for a common future? Friends, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, this is Apostle Paul writing, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called, with all the lowliness, meaning the humbleness, and the gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Friends, why are we united? We are united for communal joy. We are united by a common blessing. We are united for a common future. That is what unites us. Nothing more. So what must we do? We must keep the very same unity all the time. In whatever we do, here, even outside here. The Lord bless you. Let's pray.
So we thank you, O Lord, for your word. We thank you, O Lord, for the unity that you have given us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This picture of, O Lord, of how it will be in heaven one day, where you will gather people from different tribes and language and peoples and tongues, O Lord. All of them will be gathered together, praising you, O Lord, singing glory to you, O Lord, who see that on high. So we thank you, O Lord, that we may be able to have a view of this glorious work that you are doing in this world, O Lord, to be able to come together as your people from different places, from different tongues, O Lord. And we pray that you may continue to help us to be united, O Lord, to love one another, to care for one another, O Lord, and to have genuine love for another, O Lord. So help us as your people not to forget, O Lord, that which brings us together, the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified for our sins. So be with us, O Lord, to pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.